This is part two of our session week nine. First of all, there are a number of handouts that I've given you, but you might not still have them. The first one is a summary of the play by As You Like It with a summary of the Royal Shakespeare Company at the back. I'm going to give you one anyway, in case you can't find it, and if you do find it, you've got two. Because the reason I'm giving you this is because as best as I can, I would like you to get some understanding of where the scene that we're playing in this play, where it fits in to the play as a whole. So that will help. The other handout, I think I've given you this as well. This is a handout from a play called The Essential Shakespeare, As You Like It. Quite an easy introduction to the play, with notes, etc. And it's important that this will help you with your assignment as well, incidentally. It's important that you know what the play as a whole is about and something of the history of the play. Got that. Now, in case some of you have mislaid the text that we're going to use, or want another copy, here it is. You can't be too careful when you're a teacher. Got it? So please write your name on this and try not to lose this one. If you haven't lost it, you can still have another one. And I'm adding one important speech to everything we do, and that speech is "All the world's a stage and all the men are merely players," which is the most important speech in the whole play, and it's not part of Act 5, but we're all going to do that together at the beginning of our performance. I'm going to show you how we're going to do that in a minute. But here is that speech, "All the world," and it's from Act 2, Scene 7. What do you want, Scott? Oh, the sign the book thing. I think sorry about it. Okay, so we're going to look first of all at the Act 2, Scene 7 speech, "All the World's a Stage." Everybody got that? The last sheet that I handed out. Now, I've tried in my thinking to include everybody, but some people are away, and sometimes people are away one week and not the other way, so we might have to shift around. The other thing is that, as I said at the start, we might decide to change who plays what part. You might even make a suggestion as to who's the better part, because I'm not a professional director. You're my actors, and we're going to work together to try and make the best production in 4 weeks' time. You can help me. I can oversee it. We'll try and work together. Now, this scene, we're going to start at line 135 with Duke Senior. Got that? And Duke Senior is going to be played by Joey in this particular instance. And Jaques is going to be played by Derek in this particular instance. So you've got the first four lines, Jaques, Derek, yep. And you've got four lines, Joey, Duke Senior. And then, as we saw in the Shakespeare Room, the speech has an infant, a schoolboy, a lover, a soldier, justice, an old man in pantaloons, and the second childish childhood. So, Jean, you are the first infant. At first, the infant mewling and puking in the nurse's arms. Okay, that's all you say. Then Tom is the schoolboy. Then the whining schoolboy with his satchel and shining morning face, creeping like snail, unwilling to school.
So I get up to his ex being 7 or 8.
Correct. Now, Greg, you are, as I know you are, the lover. And then the lover sighing like furnace with a woeful ballad made to his mistress's eyebrow. Okay, that's you. That's what you say. Where's my pen got? Anybody got a pen I can borrow? Thank you. That's Scott. No, Greg. Then there is the soldier, and the soldier is Scott. Okay, the soldier says, then a soldier full of strange oaths and bearded like the pard, jealous in honour, sudden and quick in quarrel, seeking the bubble reputation even in the cannon's mouth. You got that, Scott? Okay, we're looking on here.
Yeah, where does it say soldier?
It doesn't say soldier, but it's lines 148. Line 148, it begins, then a soldier full of strange oaths. Can you please mark the lines that I've given you to read? Because what we're going to do, we're going to first read them all just sitting, and then we're going to do it actions. We're all going to get together and we're going to perform our part. If we're the child, we're going to go like this. If we're the lover, we're going to go like this. Oh. If we're the old judge, we're going to go like this. That's Jack, you, in a minute. And if we're Jaques, Jaques. So we're going to play our part. Each of us is going to play our part in this introduction to As You Like It. Who is Jaques? Jaques is he's the overarching philosopher. Remember, he kind of stands. Remember, you had a discussion.
Sorry, I just misunderstood
you.
Yep. It's your pronunciation of Jaques.
Jaques. You know what Jaques actually, the English word Jaques referred to in the Renaissance? It referred to toilet. Toilet. Jaques. Yeah, Scott.
Where does that finish?
It finishes, and a soldier full of strange oaths and bearded like the far jealousy on a sudden and quickened reputation, seeking the bubble reputation even in the cannon's mouth. Full stop. Sorry? The lover is... And then the lover, sighing like furnace with a woeful ballad made to his mistress's eyebrow. And what we'll do, we'll have you going towards Jean in that section.
I can't find it.
Yes, you can.
From blind and stupid.
There, from there, and then the lover down to there. Got it? That's it.
No.
Then, next, we've got the justice, and the justice is Jack.
And then the justice in fair our valley with good cape and line, with eyes severe and beard a formal... We have to get a beard for you. Beard a formal cut, full of wise saws and modern instances, and so he plays his part. That's what you say.
The sixth age... I'm sorry, Ian, but you're the sixth age. The sixth age shifts into the lean and slippered pantaloon with spectacles on nose and pouch on side. His youthful hose well saved, a world too wide. You've got some really big, baggy, wide trousers you can get. World too wide for his shrunk shank and his big, manly voice turning again towards childish treble pipes and whistles in his sound. That's you, Ian. So you're over the hill. And then lastly... Who have I not got yet? Michael.
What?
You are the second childhood. You have to play the role of the person who's just about lost everything. Last seen of all that ends this strange, eventful history. In second childishness and mere oblivion. Sans teeth. You know what sans means here? It means without. Without teeth, sans eye, sans taste, sans everything. So this is the most well-known speech in Shakespeare. It's often taken out of context. And it's spoken by Jaques, who is an actor in this play, who is not really part of the main action. But he's a kind of a philosopher, if you like. He's sometimes called a fool. He's sometimes called an observer. And at the end of the play, he goes off and disappears and goes off with Duke Frederick. So we had a conversation after the Bell Shakespeare production. Derek and I and others, we asked John Bell what he thought about Jaques. And strangely, John Bell said, oh, if you took Jaques out, it wouldn't make any difference to the play. I disagree with that. I think Jaques is a really important character. So before we go into reading this, let me just make sure that I haven't put this up here for nothing. This is just a little bit of a breakdown of how this play moves. The play begins with the kind of enmity between Duke Frederick and Duke Senior. And Duke Frederick has kicked Duke Senior out of the court, and Duke Senior's had to go and hide in the forest. So the play moves between the court and the forest. But Shakespeare presents the court, like he does in so many of his plays, as a rather negative and bleak place, full of unhappy faces, full of wrestling, full of anger. And the forest is a place where human beings come to live a new life, come to live a more balanced life, and where, yes, love comes into the equation, and marriage, and lots of happy faces, and it's full of shepherds and shepherdesses. Not that the shepherds and shepherdesses are necessarily happy, they're having their little arguments as well. And in the middle of all that, we've got the main characters, we've got the two women, Rosalind and Celia, who are not sisters. Rosalind is the daughter of Duke Senior, and Celia is the daughter of Duke Frederick. Celia is in the court of Duke Frederick at the start of the play, and so is her friend Rosalind. And at the start of the play, you might remember there's a wrestling match. And in the wrestling match, the wrestler Charles has been told that he's going to wrestle with Orlando. Come in, who's this?
Tibby.
Tibby, come in, Tibby. And during the wrestling match, Rosalind sees Orlando, and Orlando sees Rosalind, and they fall in love. They're love at first sight. So pretty soon after the start of the play, Duke Frederick finds out that Rosalind is Duke Senior's daughter, and she is banished from the court. And her friend Celia, who's Duke Frederick's daughter, they both go to the forest to find Duke Senior. And Orlando goes with them. Orlando's brother Oliver, Nasty Oliver, who's under Duke Frederick's jurisdiction, he's told to go and find Orlando and bring him back. But there's this scene where Orlando sees Oliver about to be attacked by a lion. And Orlando saves Oliver, and Oliver becomes his friend. And Oliver, in fact, falls in love with Celia. So at the end, you've got these two marriages, plus you've got some marriages of shepherds and shepherdesses. The story is a kind of a nonsense. I mean, there's so much in the story that's not realistic and doesn't follow the laws of logic. And Shakespeare actually based this play on a popular novel at the time called Rosalind. And he got a lot of his ideas from that. But he developed this play, which basically shows a movement away from the negativity of the court to the joy and the harmony of the forest. And Jaques and Touchstone are the two sort of outside characters who are kind of philosophers or fools. Fools not meant in the sense of stupid, but fools meant in the sense of having some detached view of society, looking on society with a certain amount of detachment. And those characters come into the play too. We're just looking at Act 5. We're not going to be able to do the whole of Act 5. We're going to rehearse some of it, and then we're going to have to make a decision. What are we going to leave out? What are we going to include? I've already decided we're going to include this speech from the middle of Act 2, Scene 7. It's so important, and anybody who wants to go and see As You Like It, they want to hear this speech. So we're going to give them what they want. We're going to give it to them with power. We're going to give them this opening speech with power. Now that Tibby's come in, I've got to find something for Tibby to do. And I don't have anything for Tibby to do in this opening scene just yet. So Tibby can be the harshest critic, and he can tell us what he thinks of the way we do it. So first thing we're going to do, we're going to read through this speech, sitting down comfortably where we are, but get ready for it. Within 3 minutes, you're going to be up on the stage here, and you're going to have to perform your part with vigour, vitality, and conviction. Yes, Ian.
Whereabouts is my bit?
Your bit, Ian, begins... It begins 156. The sixth age shifts into the lean and slippered pantaloon. Pantaloons, of course, are pants. With spectacles on nose and pouch on side, his youthful hose well saved a world too wide, because you've shrunk, for he shrunk shank, and his big manly voice turning again towards childish treble pipes and whistles in his sound. Do you all understand the lines that you've been asked to read? Because it's very important that you do. So just have a look at the lines you've been asked to read, and if there's any questions about what it means, just let's go over it. Don't be afraid to ask, what does something mean? Jack?
What about the full of wise souls?
Okay, and then the justice in fair round belly with good cape and line, with eyes severe and beard deformed, look up, full of wise sores, full of wise sayings. Sores is sayings. And modern instances. Modern instances, modern, it's got the word trite there. That on the right-hand side, the italicized words, not saying very much. Modern instances is being translated here as trite. Trite means not having much substance. But a sore is,
oh, yes, I'm the justice. I know everything about life. You know me. Yes, I can decide who is good and who is bad.
So that's a sore. Any other questions? Which one is that, Scott?
Soldier.
The soldier. Then a soldier full of strange oaths and bearded like the pard. The pard, the leopard, got a footnote there, the leopard. The soldier's bristling moustache is being compared to a leopard's whiskers. So you can get yourself a nice pair of leopard's whiskers for the occasion and make sure when you read it, you make those whiskers whistle. Then the soldier full of strange oaths and bearded like the pard. Get a big pair of cat's whiskers and put them on you, Scott. Can you think you can do that? You'll try. Good. Any other questions?
What's my actual part's name?
Your part's name is, we'll call it the pantaloon, the big baggy trousers. Let's call it the pantaloon. The sixth age shifts into the lean and slippered pantaloon. With spectacles on nose and pouch on side, his youthful hose, well saved, a world too wide. Because, you know, when you were younger, Ian, you used to wear trousers that, you know, encased a very fit, muscular figure. But you've now almost shrunk to nothing, so your trousers are just so baggy. And you're trying to wear them and to pretend that you're still as strong as you were. Something like that.
Do I say, and then the lover, or just...
Sorry, you say the whole thing. And then the lover, you introduce yourself, and then you do it. And then the lover, sighing like furs, with a woeful ballad. Saw made to his mistress' eyebrow. And you go across to Jean, don't offend her, but you have that gesture, and there she's on the stage. You can discuss that with her. Any other questions? Any other questions? Tom, you okay with yours?
Yep.
Yep. Okay. The whinings.
However, I can bring my own satchel.
Good, your own satchel. Creeping like snail, unwillingly to stool. That's it. Okay, and Michael, you've got the most difficult part of all. You've got to play the old person almost on their deathbed. Let's let it run through, first of all, reading only. Joey, off we go.
Thou seest, we are not all alone unhappy. This wide and universal theatre presents more woeful pageants than the scene wherein we play in.
Just let me comment there. You see, Duke Senior is including the whole audience. He's including the whole old world. The wide and universal theatre is the whole world out there. And the world out there has got more woeful spectacles than the scene that we're playing in here. So Shakespeare liked to always say that all the world is a stage. Like to give the audience a sense of inclusion. So when we do that, make sure that you go out to the audience and, you know, you kind of embrace them, that they're part of this show too, that sort of thing. Great. Jacques.
All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts, his acts being several ages.
And, you know, if you've got the courage, Derek, when you're presenting this, you come to the front and we have an audience there, and you go around without touching anybody. You go around and you say, all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts, his acts being seven ages. So again, you could include the audience in that. Fantastic. Jean.
At first, the infant, mewling and puking in the nurse's arms.
Beautiful, beautiful. You've got to do that more forcefully when we're there. Have your napkins ready and yeah, etc. Great.
It's not easy,
man. That's really hard for me to get into character now.
Go for it, Tom.
The whining schoolboy.
Then the whining schoolboy.
Then the whining schoolboy with his satchel and shining morning face, creeping like a snail, unwillingly to school.
Beautiful, beautiful. And now the lover. Greg, your turn.
And now the lover.
And then the lover.
Sighing like furnace.
Sighing.
Sighing like... Huh? Sighing like furnace with a woeful ballad made to his mistress's eyebrow.
Fantastic. Then the soldier.
Then a soldier, full of strength, oaths, and bearded like a pard, jealous in honour, sudden and quick in quarrel, seeking the bubble reputation. Even in the cannon's mouth.
Do you know what that means? Seeking the bubble reputation even in the cannon's mouth. So you're always a soldier, always wanting to get the VC. You're always wanting a VC, even in the cannon's mouth. You'll do anything to get a VC, something like that. Great. Justice.
And then the justice. In fur-run belly with good cap on line.
With good cape on line.
Cape and
and
line.
Don't be afraid to stroke your belly when you're doing this. Don't be afraid. That's it.
With eyes severe and veiled, a formal cat, full of wise souls and modern instances. And so he plays his part.
Beautiful. And now the pantaloon.
The sixth age shifts into the wine, and slips.
Slippered.
Slippered pantaloon. With spectacles upon his.
And you can, when you say that, you can actually, it's good you've got spectacles, you can pull it down over your nose, make them hang as low as possible.
And pouch on pride. His youthful hose.
And you can shake your trousers when you do that. Get yourself a big pair of baggy trousers and shake them.
Will say, a world too wide. For his shrunk shank. Turning again towards childish treble. Pipes and whistles in his sound.
And when you come to that part, you know, it's saying that when you become an old man, you know, your voice loses its tone. You start talking like this, you start talking really high. How are you going today, Ian? So, you know, you can spoil, you make your voice go that way. You've got the opportunity to do that. And finally, Michael.
Last scene of all that ends this strange, eventful history. In second childishness and mere oblivion. Sans teeth, sans eyes, sans taste, sans everything.
And you can make a lot of that. Sans teeth, sans eyes, sans teeth, sans everything. Okay, everybody stand up and come into the middle now. We're going to have to work out how this is going to work best. I just had a thought that if we were all standing in a row with Joey and Derek sort of in the front, but all of us standing in a row here. Come on, Tom, stand up here. If we're all standing in a row, then as we say our part, the person who says the part, they step forward like this, and they do their performance to the audience. And Jake Weiss and Duke Senior sort of standing there watching on, because they've kind of... They've announced this whole thing. So come close, stand in an actual row. You, Joey, go over with Derek over there. So we stand in a row, we stand in the sequence. Now, who's first? John, you're first. So, John, you come over here. John, you come over here. And then we've got Tom next to you. And then we've got the lover. We've got Greg next. And then we've got the soldier, Scott, here. And then we've got the justice. And then we've got the pantaloon. And then we've got Michael, the second child. So in a row, a straight row. All stand in a row.
We're going to all fit in a straight row.
Yeah, yeah, we will. If you all go shoulder to shoulder.
Even shoulder to shoulder is not going to work.
Let's try.
The only way it's going to work is if we all go that side or this side
okay.
of the room. Okay,
let's do it.
The length of the room versus the breadth of the room
yep.
isn't the same.
Okay, so start from this side, Joel, over here. Come and do the same orientation along here, that's it. Okay, you're at the end.
Can we just do a bend?
Can we do a bend?
Can we go outside?
We will be rehearsing in that room next door next week. Just for today, we're going to stay here. Okay, we've lost the order again.
I'm next again.
Yeah, Jean, come over back over here. Tom, back over here next to Jean.
Stop moving around.
Just
shove
one.
That's
it.
Yeah, this way.
Okay. This way around here. Greg, Tom.
That works.
Jean over here. So when it's your turn, you actually take two steps forward and you make a big thing of it. You're right in the stage. You really put your whole being into it. And I'm the director and I'm going to force you to do out of your comfort zone, make you do more than you think you should. You've got to make these words come alive with movement, gesture, plastic arts, expression. This is how drama text is so much more than just text on the page. We've got the responsibility to bring these words to life. That's what we're doing. And this is what you're writing about in your essay as well. So, you know, you've got a beautiful opportunity here to actually start thinking about how you can write your essay from the point of view of how you experience the language of drama. So these two guys over here, let's imagine the audience is at Rosanna's there. So one really important thing is when you're on stage, always face the audience. Irrespective of if you're turning this way, always face the audience so they can hear your voice. So Derek, over this way a bit, try not to be mingled up with the riffraff. You two are the important
right.
people. This is the riffraff. That's it. So let's go. Now here, you two guys, the cue I've given you is that you need to try and make the audience feel included, that they are the world. The world's the stage. Off we go.
Thou seest, we are not all alone unhappy, this wide and universal theatre presents more woeful pageants than the scene wherein we play in.
Beautiful.
All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances. And one man in his time plays many parts. His acts.
Beautiful. Now, you've just made me realize one thing that's really, really important. This is the opening scene of the play, and you only have two or three lines each. Some of you have got a few more, but wouldn't it be great if we could learn these lines by heart so that we could actually come on the stage and really just speak them without looking down like this, just throw ourselves into it. Wouldn't it be good? Wouldn't it be good? That's right, right. So, for next week, your task is learn these lines, just these ones, by heart. So next week we can put it all down and we can stand up and do this opening scene like that. We're going to be in the front of the Sydney Morning Herald, I can tell you. This is it. This is it. So, let us go now. Jean. She's already learned her lines, look.
I sound only good too. At first, the infant... mewling and puking in the nurse's house.
Beautiful, fantastic. She learned her lines already. See what we can do. Tom, off you go.
Then, the whining schoolboy with his satchel and shining morning face, creeping like a snail, unwillingly to school.
Very Very good, but let's have you actually creeping across the stage.
I was actually creeping off the chair.
Yeah.
If you hadn't noticed.
There'll be no chair on the stage. You'll have to. Have you got a satchel?
Yes.
Very good. Let's have that next week. That'd be great. Okay, lover.
And then the lover.
Sighing like furnace.
Sighing like furnace. With a woeful ballad made to his mistress's eyebrow.
Can you turn to Jean and make her your mistress for this occasion? She's transformed from a baby into a mistress at the click of a finger.
I forgot to ask permission.
Then the soldier.
Then the soldier, full of strange oaths, bearded like a pard, jealous in honour, sudden and quick in quarrel, even the cannon's mouth.
Seeking the bubble in reputation. Now, sudden and quick in quarrel. So, you know, there are things you can do there. Sudden and quick in quarrel. You know, you can act that sort of anger of a soldier in a fight. Sudden and quick in quarrel. Seeking the bubble reputation, even in the cannon's mouth. There's lots of actions you can put in there to turn the soldier into something that's more than just words. This is something you can all think about for this week. How am I going to turn my lines into something that's more than just words? How am I going to add the extra linguistic mise-en-scène elements to my part so that when the audience sees this, oh, they'll just get it straight away? And that's how plays work, you know. When you watch a Shakespeare play, sometimes you don't even need to know the meaning of all the words. The actors, if they're really good, they can bring the meaning out through the way they stand, the way they gesture. Justice!
And then the justice. Foreign Burley was good cut on line.
Very good.
Was I severe? And beard a formal cat. Full of wise souls and modern instances. And so he plays his part.
Excellent. So, you know, you can amplify this again. And then the justice, you can really exaggerate. In fair and round belly, with good cape on line, with eye severe. Eye severe. You can stare people out in the front. Eye severe. And beard of formal cut. Full of wise thought. And modern instances. So he plays his part, and then you can step back at that last bit. So give a thought how you're going to really bring that to life. That'd be fantastic.
It's not easy.
Pantaloon! No, sorry. Yeah, it is pantaloon. Go for it.
The 6 day shifts into the lead of slip pantaloon.
Slippered pantaloon. So you're sort of sliding along like this.
With the spectacles on his nose and the pouch on his side. His youthful hose with save.
Well saved, here rattling your big baggy trousers.
Are well too wide for his shrunken.
And you know what your shrunk shank is? You know what that is?
Lamb shank. Yeah.
It's your body shrunk and shank. You can sort of pretend that you're really thin.
And his big manly voice turned towards childish trivial.
Treble. Pipes.
And whistles. In his sound.
Good. So,
not in his nose, in his sound.
So, Ian, you can try and learn those lines, bring those words out more strongly, and really bring some meaning to them.
All right.
Okay.
That's
going to
be fun.
Mike.
Okay.
Second childishness.
The scene of all that ends this strange, eventful history is second childishness and mere oblivion. Same teeth, same eyes, same taste, same everything.
That last one, much slower. Sans teeth.
Much slower.
Sans eyes. Sans teeth. Sans everything. You know, you're coming to the end. You are the end.
Okay.
You are the end. You're the end of the story.
Okay.
Okay.
I need a mirror in my room.
You do. Okay, that's fantastic. So, what time is it? We've got 6 minutes left. So let's turn to Act 5, Scene 4. We're probably going to do a bit of the earlier ones, but let's have a look at Act 5 scenes 4. Now we'll just do a reading of this. Okay. So, Duke Senior, we did have Joey down as Duke Senior. I think I'll still have Joey as Duke Senior for the moment. Joey is Duke Senior.
It's the last scene.
I'll just go through these characters. You can tell me who I've left out. I've got Rosalind is Jean, and also Phoebe is Jean, for the moment. Silvius is Tibby. Silvius. Touchstone is Tom. Jaques is Derek. Jacques Du Bois is Greg. Now, who have I missed out? Ian.
I'll play the singles.
Have I missed anybody else out?
Yeah.
Who?
Me.
Michael. Michael, you are Hyman. Michael, you are Hyman. Hyman is in the marriage ceremony. She's the person who brings on the... Sorry?
Thanks.
What page are we on?
Okay.
Doesn't come in
till late.
83. Okay.
That's
cool. Orlando. Now, who am I missing?
Scott.
Orlando is Scott. You're the lover.
Oh, you've got short
lines. No, you're not Touchstone.
No.
Tom is Touchstone. Greg, you are Jacques Du Bois. There's another Jaques. Jaques. Okay. So, has everybody got a part now?
No.
Who hasn't? You haven't. Okay. So... We're going to do Act 5, Scene 1 as well, and we're going to have, for the moment at least, we're going to have Tom as Touchstone, and we're going to have Audrey as Jean, and we're going to have Jack as William. So we're going to try 5-1 and then switch to 5-4. 5-1 first. And in fact, we're not going to get very far into it.
We're not going to get far into
it. Let's go.
73. 5-1 and
5-1. Act 5, scene 1. Yeah, we got Jean is Audrey. Rosanna. Here's William. Scott is William.
Scott.
Huh? No, not Scott. Jack. Jack. So let's go. Act 5, scene 1. Page 73. Let's go. Jean. Touchstone. Here we go. Go.
We shall. Page 73.
Oh, that's the second part.
Change. Act 5. Because I wanted to include everybody in it. So we've got to expand the section.
We shall find time, Audrey. Patience, gentle Audrey.
Faith. The priest was good enough for all the old gentlemen saying.
A most wicked Sir Oliver, Audrey. A most vile Martex. But Audrey, there is a youth here in the forest. Lays claim to you.
Aye, I know what's this. He has no interest in me in the world. Here comes the man you mean.
Enter William.
It is meat and drink to me to see a clown by my shop. We that have good wit have much to answer for. We shall be flouted. We cannot hold.
William.
Good evening, Audrey.
Good evening, Audrey.
God, ye good evening, William.
And good evening to you, sir.
Good evening, gentle friend. Cover thy head, cover thy head. Nay, Creethy, be covered. How old are you, friend?
25, sir.
A right age. Is thy name William?
William, sir.
A fair name. Wast born in the forest here?
Aye, sir. I thank God.
Thank God. A good answer. Art rich?
Faith, sir.
So-so is good. Very good. Very excellent good. And yet it is not. But it is but so-so. Art thou wise?
I have a trick.
Okay, pause there. We're just going to we will do the rest of this, but we're going to quickly switch to Act 5, Scene 4.
Which is page
81. Mm-hmm. And we start with Duke Senior and Orlando here. And Rosalind. Let's go straight into it. You know who your parts were?
Rosalind and Phoebe.
Yep. Who was Duke Senior?
Me.
Yep, good. And who was Orlando? Who was? Scott. Okay, go for it.
Dost thou believe, Orlando, that the boy can do all this that he hath promised?
I sometimes do believe and sometimes do not, as those that hear, they hope, and know, they fear.
Enter Rosalind, Silvius, and Phoebe.
Patience once more, whilst I compact this urge. You say, if I bring in your Rosalind, you will best over on Orlando here?
That would I had my kingdoms to give her.
And you say you will have her when I bring her here? When I bring her?
That would I were I of all kingdoms king.
You say you'll marry me if I be willing?
That will I, should I die the hour after.
But if you do refuse to marry me, you'll give yourself to this most faithful shepherd.
So is the bargain.
You say that you love Phoebe if she will.
Silvius. Did we have a Silvius?
Yep.
Who was the Silvius? That was Tibby. Tibby.
You say that you'll have Phoebe if she will.
Next line.
Oh, sorry.
Though to have her...
Though to have her and death were both one thing.
I have promised to make all this matter even. Keep your word, O Duke, to give your daughter... Yours, Orlando, to receive his daughter. Keep your word, Phoebe, that you'll marry me, or else refusing me to wed this shepherd. Keep your word, Silvius, that you'll marry her, if she refuse me, and from hence I'll go to make these doubts all even.
I do remember in this shepherd boy some lively touches of my daughter's favour.
My lord, the first time that I ever saw him, methought he was a brother to your daughter. But, my good lord, this boy is forest-born, and hath been poor...
Tutored
in the rudiments of many desperate studies by his uncle, whom he reports to be a great musician, obscured in the circle of the forest.
Enter Touchstone the Clown and Audrey.
There's, sure, another flood toward, and these couples are coming to the yard. Oh, here comes a pair of very strange beasts, which in all tongues are called fools.
Salutations and greetings to you all.
Jaques.
Good, my lord, bid him welcome. This is the motley minded gentleman that I have so often met in the forest. He hath been a courtier, he swears.
If any man doubt that, let him put me to my purgation. I have trod a measure. I have flattered a lady. I have been politic with my friend, smooth with mine enemy. I have undone three tailors. I have had four quarrels and like to have fought one.
And how was that taken up?
Faith, we met and found the quarrel, was upon the seventh course.
How seventh course? Good Lord, like this fellow.
I like him very well.
God yield you, sir. I desire of you of the like. I press in here, sir, amongst the rest of the country
copulatives,
to swear and forswear, according as marriage blinds and blood breaks. A poor virgin, sir. I am an ill-favoured thing, sir, but mine own, a poor humour of mine, sir, to take that no man else will. Rich honesty dwells like a master, sir.
Miser,
sir, in a poor house, as your pearl in your foul oyster.
By my faith, he's very swift and sententious.
Okay, I think we'll just move across to 83, and we'll have Enter Hymen, God of Marriage, Rosalind and Celia as themselves. Still music. 83.
Good. Then, is that where I start?
Yep.
Then is the earth in heaven, when earthly things made even are turned together. Good Jew, receive thy daughter. Hymen from heaven brought her. Yea, brought her hither, that thou mightst join his hand with whose heart within his bosom is.
So you're a kind of an angelic creature here. We have to make sure that your hair is all golden and,
okay,
you know, have wings on your shoulders and wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, Rosalind.
To you I give myself, for I am yours. To you I give myself, for I am yours.
If there be truth in sight, you are my daughter.
If there be truth in sight, you are my Rosalind.
Phoebe.
If sight and shape be true, why then, my love, adieu.
You have to change roles.
Sorry.
So we're going to have to think
this. I have no father if you be not he. I love no husband if you be not he. No near-way woman if you be not she.
Peace, ho. I bar confusion. This I must make conclusion.
Tis I must make conclusion.
Thy. Says T.I.S. But. Tis I must make conclusion. Of these most strange events, here's eight that must take hands to join in Haman's band. If truth holds true.
So there's eight people getting married on the stage.
Four couples.
To Rosalind and Orlando, you come around, you'll have to come around and talk to the couples one after the other, and you no cross shall part, you and your heart in heart. Anyway, let's pause there. Look, it's developing nicely. I've got a sense that we might have to change a few roles and maybe cut a few lines out here and there, but I'm getting a real sense that we're going to be able to do this and do it well. Most of you are reading the lines clearly. It'd be good if you can go home and read this whole Act 5, try and understand it more. We might swap a few roles next week, swap around. You think it's a good idea at the moment? You like where it is at the moment?
Yeah.
Everybody like it? Anybody want to change? I think we're going to have a different Phoebe. You wanted to be Duke Sin. Tibby? Tibby is Phoebe.
Yes.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's a very good idea. Tibby will be Phoebe. So you'll have someone to talk to. You just have to make sure that he's got a nice wig on and nice bra underneath, because he's a shepherdess who's desperate to marry Orlando. So, yeah. Good. That's excellent.
Thank you.
Tibby is Phoebe.
Penciled it in.
Not getting out of this one now.
Not at all. You're stuck with it. Okay, so great, guys. Now, you've got your Tibby. The essay topic has been handed out. Here it is. So this is something you can begin to work with your learning partner. You haven't got one yet either. Good. What else do I need to say? Anything else? Everybody clear on what's happening? Appointments at 15:15. So please, everybody leave, except the appointments that I've got. I got an appointment with Derek, and I've got an appointment with Shane at 15:30.
Can you pull these back?
You can pull these chairs back, tables back.
Okay, sorry, I'll
Yeah. But unofficial appointments.
Let's get that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, let's put them back in.